We're in Romans chapter 3, resuming our study in verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are not righteous. We are guilty and we are condemned. But if we put our faith in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, which paid for our sins, then God declares us to be righteous. God justifies us when we receive Jesus Christ, which means that he, as judge, officially declares that we are legally righteous in his eyes. And that is our ticket to heaven. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Meaning, all of God's Old Testament people who believed in him when he said that he would send a Savior to pay for their sins went to paradise after they died. God did not punish them because they had faith in the Savior who was to come. And the Bible says that Jesus is that Savior. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross paid for the sins of the people who trusted God before the cross and after the cross. As a result, God did not violate his just character by not punishing Old Testament people, even though they were guilty. God's justice was satisfied because Jesus Christ was punished in their place. 26. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God cannot simply overlook our sin without punishing it. His character will not allow him to ignore our sin and our guilt. He literally can't do it because he will not deny himself. Any part of his being. Our sin must be punished. Evil must be paid for. And Jesus accomplished both of those things on the cross. And so the sacrificial, substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross has opened the door for God to justify sinners who put their faith in what he did. God can now forgive, and God can justify sinners and be perfectly just in doing it. Mercy and truth, mercy and justice meet together in the Lord Jesus Christ. 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Christians are saved, but not because of anything good that they have done. Christians have no reason to boast. Christians are sinners saved by the mercy of God, and that is it. 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, those who say, yes, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but we must also keep the law, or at least give it our best effort, are wrong. Keeping the law has nothing to do with us being saved. Salvation isn't about what we do. It is about what Jesus has done for us on the cross. 29. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. There's only one plan of God to save people from hell. It is a one-size fits all plan of salvation, and it is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Our faith doesn't cancel the purpose of God's law. Our faith actually fulfills the purpose of God's law, which was to show us that we can't save ourselves. The law reveals that our only hope is to put our faith and our trust in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go into chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Now, in the first three chapters of Romans, God has been driving home the point that to be saved, we must trust in Jesus and his death on the cross. And here Paul asked, well, what about Abraham? Was Abraham justified by faith, or was there a different plan back then? Maybe he was saved by his good works. What about Abraham? And he continues in verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. In other words, if Abraham earned salvation, well, then he can sit around heaven and talk about what a great job he did on earth. You know, and he can talk about how hard he worked to make it to heaven. 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What does the scripture say? You want to know what the answer to the question is? What does the scripture say? Scripture has the final word on every subject, dealing with faith, morals, salvation, and God. Don't look to man. Don't even look to religious systems for the final answer, because it's only found in the Bible. And the Bible says that Abraham was declared righteous by God because of his faith. 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Your employer doesn't say, I have a gift for you. I'm going to give you a gift every week or every 2 weeks, whatever it is. I'm giving you a gift. You worked your hours, you earned your wages, so here's your gift. He doesn't say that. He gives you what you work for. He doesn't give you a gift. 5. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. You can't work for your salvation and trust Christ for your salvation. You just can't. You can't do both. You must choose which one you're going to go with. You can't be saved by faith in Christ until you quit trying to earn your way to heaven. To those who do not work, the Bible says, but believes on Jesus, those are the ones who get saved. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, I'm going to trust Jesus, but I'm going to work for my salvation anyway and just to make sure. It doesn't work that way. The one cancels out the other. 6, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Salvation by faith apart from us sinners' self-effort is the only plan that will work or ever has worked. What did David say? Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And that's the best that anyone can hope for, because men will never be good enough to get into heaven. Our only hope is that the bad we have done will be forgiven. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We sin and we cannot make up for our sins. Our only hope is for God to not hold our sins against us. Verse 9. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. In other words, does the blessing of God canceling out our sin debt occur only after we do some religious work? Or after we keep some aspect of his law? Or can it happen without doing those things? That is, if salvation is by faith, does that faith need to include some sort of good work before it saves? God says it's easy to find out. Just look at Abraham. The Bible says Abraham was saved by faith. Now, did God save Abraham when it was only faith? Did he say Abraham was saved by faith before or after he kept the religious law of circumcision? Good question. 10. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. There's your answer. Abraham was saved by his faith, and it didn't have anything to do with keeping any of God's laws, including the very important Jewish rite of circumcision. And by this, God is saying, your faith in Jesus saves you. You're not saved by faith after you do some religious work or go through a ritual or keep some commandment. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. A policeman has authority to arrest people, but he better have his badge, which is the outward symbol of his authority. People cannot see authority, but they can see a badge. People see a policeman's badge, and they say, well, now that person has authority. The badge is the outward sign of it. And Abraham was saved by faith. And then later he was circumcised as a symbol of his faith. Circumcision was the badge of his saving faith, just as baptism is the initial badge of saving faith today, along with holiness throughout our Christian life. In other words, we cannot see saving faith, but we can see the outward signs of it. And again, the outward signs do not save, but they do show that one is saved. Let's look at 11 and 12 together. And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision, to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. In other words, the important thing, the absolutely critical thing for anyone, Jew, Gentile, black, white, red, yellow, whatever, is that they ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior and are trusting completely in his death on the cross. Salvation is by faith alone, not by faith plus works, religious works or any other kind of works. 13. Actually, you know what? This would probably be a good place to stop. I know we're stopping a little bit early, but let's stop right here. We'll pick it up in verse 13 next time.